Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just...
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn. As some Israeli ground troops and tanks entered Gaza, a barrage of rockets fired back from the Gaza Strip. We begin with CBS's Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem and what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said when he addressed his nation.
Netanyahu said that with the entrance of limited ground forces into Gaza, the war had entered its second stage and that the goal was to destroy Hamas. The war inside Gaza will be long, and we are prepared for that, Netanyahu said. This is our second war of independence. He also said that Hamas is using the population of Gaza as human shields and again urged Palestinians to move southwards.
As the prime minister stated, Israel's goal is to fully destroy Hamas. But military consultant Jeff McCausland tells us,
it's unclear to me whether you can destroy Hamas. Even if you do destroy Hamas as a functioning organization, will just some other group take up the mantle of Palestinian resistance?
Meanwhile, thousands of pro-Palestinian protesters streamed into London streets today in a national march for Palestine calling for a ceasefire. Former Vice President Mike Pence is dropping out of the race for the Republican presidential nomination.
It's become clear to me this is not my time. So after much prayer and deliberation, I have decided to suspend my campaign for president effective today.
He made the announcement in Las Vegas at the annual Republican Jewish Coalition Convention. He didn't immediately endorse any of his rivals, but continued to echo language he's used to criticize former President Trump. Jeep maker Stellantis has reached a tentative contract agreement with the United Auto Workers Union. Here's CBS's Jeff Gilbert.
The deal at Stellantis, which makes Dodges, Rams, Chryslers, and Jeeps, is similar to one reached earlier at Ford, including a 25% pay raise. It also includes new products for a plant in Belvidere, Illinois, which has been idled. Stellantis workers are expected to head back to their jobs as they take their ratification vote.
Mother Nature is feeling a bit cold in Colorado, says Weather Channel meteorologist Kelly Cass.
Ice and snow we are tracking, especially in the Rockies. Our first big snow of the season for Denver, Colorado, where we do have winter storm warnings in effect between now and tomorrow morning.
It is a much different weather story in places like New York and Washington, D.C., where it feels like summer today in the 80s. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I'm Dr. Short.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. It's the time of year when temperatures start cooling down, but experts say climate change is making October nights in Wisconsin warmer more often than not. Here's Mike Mohn.
A new analysis from the nonprofit Climate Central says fall evening temperatures in the U.S. have warmed by nearly 2 degrees on average since 1970, and it's even higher in cities like Madison and Milwaukee, which has seen increases of nearly 4 degrees when looking at minimum temps. Climate Central meteorologist Lauren Casey says it doesn't just affect traditional fall activities.
Allergy season has been lengthened by about a month in many locations across the Midwest.
She says that makes it more burdensome for people with more serious respiratory issues like asthma. And the analysis points out that mosquito season is being extended too. Casey says to help mitigate these trends, Midwest residents should do what they can to avoid energy sources that come from fossil fuels. And Casey says adapting to these changes is another important step so that folks aren't caught off guard when the calendar flips to October.
So you can best prepare if you do have asthma, you know, if you are potentially susceptible to mosquito-borne illnesses, all of these things which can impact our everyday lives.
For prolonged allergy seasons, health experts say vulnerable individuals should put some time and research into establishing a medication regimen that works for them. Meanwhile, Casey says the warmer weather results in heavier rain events, which attract more mosquitoes. She suggests that you be more mindful of areas of standing water as the fall drags on. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. Dom, it's a great day to be a Badger.
Not so much a Packer or a Lions fan. Crudy, good to see you. Happy Monday. Nate, working the board, our fair audience. We start the week all over again. Great to be with you all.
A wonderful comeback victory over Brett Bielema in Illinois. I like when the Badgers beat any Illinois team. So that was an exciting victory.
Yeah.
And then that volleyball game, I got to tell you, I'm still very proud of the UW volleyball program. Perhaps it's being called the best women's volleyball game ever against Nebraska on Saturday night. We watched every set, and it's unfortunate that the Badgers lost at the end, but that was a hell of a volleyball game, man. Still proud to be a Badger. And Dom here at Civic Media, we're proud to announce we got all kinds of sports coming down the pike this week. Hell, the Badger hockey team in the top 25 for the first time in 2 years.
All right.
Badger Bob Johnson used to always say, it's a great day to be a Badger. Or play hockey, I forget which. But the Badger hockey team, 5-1, playing against, you know, Minnesota. Minnesota, there, hey. Playing them Thursday and Friday night. So that'll be exciting. We're going to try to find a place for that. But the Milwaukee Bucks tip off the regular season in 6 Civic Media markets across the state of Wisconsin, Dom. That happens on Thursday night, and then a Sunday night Bucks game, and a Monday night Bucks game. So the Bucks start the regular season, a highly anticipated year. And the Badgers host in Ohio State, I got to tell you.
How do you feel about that one, Michael?
I hate Ohio State. I hate everything about the state. I hate the speaker candidate from there.
Jim Jordan, come on.
I hate Jamie Vance. From there too? I don't like anything about the state of Ohio, especially not a Buckeye. And unfortunately, I think they're going to come here and hand us our asses. But after the, you know, the Illinois win, and they sort of roughed up Penn State. Penn State's ranked number 6 in the nation. Ohio State, currently undefeated, 7-0, ranked number 3 in the nation.
Crudy, are you still salty about the Ohio State? Didn't you lose a bet to some guy in a bar?
Monopoly Paul.
Not so long ago, man.
Well, it's been a while now. It's been a while now. It's been 4 years since we were in Columbus for that debate, Tom.
That Sicilian interest, 100% interest compounded twice daily. Monopoly Paul, you're gonna owe him some money, man.
Well, that's why I don't like Ohio. And I'm staying the hell out, Tom. Politically, let's start with the great state of Wisconsin, because it is a great day to be a Badger. And Jennifer Rubin over at the Washington Post, she's taken note of the fact the Wisconsin Dems, big wins for the rule of law, might be an inflection point.
Oh, keep your fingers crossed.
Republicans for years have relied on highly gerrymandered districts to achieve what they could not in fair elections. But in related victories over the past 2 weeks, Wisconsin Democrats have beaten back attempts to subvert election results, helping to preserve free and fair elections. And the most important of these concerns, the state Supreme Court and a Republican movement to impeach liberal Justice Janet Protasiewicz over comments she made before joining the court about Republican-led redistricting. Now, Dom, the New York Times reported on the 12th, Robin Voss, the Republican Speaker of the State Assembly, said at a news conference in Madison he would not seek to remove Justice Protasiewicz based on the argument he and fellow Republicans had been making for the past 2 months. That statement she made, calling the maps rigged during her campaign for office this year, compelled impeachment if she refused to recuse herself from a case challenging them. Protasiewicz, elected overwhelmingly by 11 points in April, I'd like to take a small little fraction of the credit, 1 to 2 points tops, but a little credit. Again, Protasiewicz elected overwhelmingly by 11 points in April to the swing state in the state Supreme Court, refused to recuse herself from a redistricting case, a move Republicans previously insisted would trigger an impeachment drive, Dom. But the fate of the Republican plot might have been sealed after Voss convened a panel headed by former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, the choker, Dom, David Prosser, to assess the matter, only to be told by Prosser that there was no basis for impeachment. Now, subsequent news reports indicated Voss lacked the Republican votes to pull off the stunt. I'm less clear on that point, Dom. How did Republicans prevail in a state with a near supermajority Republican legislature protected by extreme gerrymandering? Question mark. Early polling suggested the impeachment threat was never popular. Democratic State Party Chair Ben Wickler told Jennifer Rubin that he and his team were able to build on the notion that, and here's a quote, Tom, people hate partisan conflict for partisan conflict's sake. And while not declaring complete victory in a fight to avert a state constitutional crisis, Wickler said in a phone interview that the state no longer faces a short-circuiting of the judicial system. Republicans really did react to public pressure. Did they, Dom?
Crudy Rubin goes on to write, that pressure, unsurprisingly, was the result of Democrats' massive efforts to engage, educate, and enlist the public in pushing back against what amounted to an effort to reverse the voters' April pick of a progressive justice who threatens to upend the GOP grip on power and protect abortion rights. Can't have that, Crudy. When Voss started revving up his base to impeach Protasiewicz, Democrats initially felt somewhat fatalistic, Wickler acknowledged. After all, Republicans control both state legislative bodies by overwhelming margins. However, Wickler galvanized the party to raise $4 million, initiated a door-knocking and ad campaign, and focused media on the latest Republican effort to subvert an election.
Hey, Tom, we're media.
Hey, that's us. Republicans didn't come to their senses about democracy, Wickler said, but they realized they didn't have cover. Once they recognized there might be an enormous price that Democratic Governor Tony Evers could simply replace Protasiewicz with another progressive judge, they beat a retreat. They walked the plank, Wickler said, and found themselves in shark-infested waters.
Did they jump the shark down?
Perhaps. He analogized that Democrats' victory in the 2017 fight over the Affordable Care Act in Washington, when congressional Democrats beat back Republicans' repeal efforts despite their overwhelming numbers. While the Wisconsin mobilization would not have been possible without Wickler's insistence on year-round organizing. After Protasiewicz's April victory, the party didn't reduce its staff or outreach efforts, he said. As a result, Democrats were prepared to wage the battle against impeachment. In the state Supreme Court case challenging Republican-drawn maps, if the justices side with plaintiffs, every state senator and state assembly seat could be on the ballot, many running in brand new districts without the advantage of incumbency. Federal district lines remain unchallenged by Democrats, a wise strategic choice, since such litigation could wind up in the highly partisan U.S. Supreme Court. a redistricting victory could create a slew of competitive seats that the state's voters have not seen in decades. In other democracy-related news out of Wisconsin, Republicans have abandoned their attempt to fire the state elections commissioner.
Less clear, Jennifer.
Megan Wolf, attorneys for the legislature's top Republicans, told a judge that a September vote to fire Wisconsin Election Commission Administrator Megan Wolf was symbolic and that Wolf is lawfully holding over in that position despite her appointment expiring July 1st. Wisconsin Public Radio reported on October 16th. That contradicts what some of the lawmakers publicly said in recent months about their efforts to remove Wolf from office. Rubin continues.
If I may, I'm sorry to interrupt, Don, but how nicely WPR calls them big, fat, lion liars.
Well, you can't call them welders, Curdy. Rubin continues, just as Republicans realized impeaching a state Supreme Court justice would raise a storm of protest without a guarantee of success, they turned around on a dime, claiming that the vote to remove Wolf was just messaging. You know, it's messaging, Curdy, and symbolism. Wickler pointed out that the GOP abruptly changed the topic, pushing anti-LGBTQ plus legislation and rejecting other gubernatorial appointees, something practically unheard of in the state. Given Democrats' success, Wickler has begun working furiously with state assembly and Senate Democrats to raise money and recruit and train candidates for what could be a breakthrough election in 2024. Democrats now have a real sense the sun is rising on their political fortunes, he said. Yeah, man, we talked to him last week. He's given me hope, Crudy. Democrats hope their Wisconsin victories can be duplicated elsewhere. Wickler, with Michigan Democrat Chair Laverna Barnes, have been sharing insights and strategy with other state party directors, eyeing possible gains in states such as North Carolina, Ohio, and Arizona. The Wisconsin lesson, says Rubin, even in less than ideal conditions, defenders of the rule of law and democracy can organize and still hope drive public opinion and defeat authoritarian efforts to protect incumbents. Authoritarians depend on complacency and defeatism. Democracy's survival depends on optimism and talented leadership. Wisconsin Democrats certainly have plenty of both, according to the opinion of Jennifer Rubin, columnist over at the Washington Post.
Now, Dominic, we are going to play that interview with Ben Wickler. He joined us last Tuesday on the big show from the Jade Monkey, that funky monkey, the cocktail lounge, the party edition. Well, Dom, tomorrow will be a travel day. As you know, I'm going out to D.C. soon. So we will replay that interview with Ben Wickler. And if you missed it the first time around, well, now's the second chance. Second time's the charm. But I got to tell you, I share the optimism of Ben Wickler. I am proud to be a Badger Democrat. And I think that perhaps not, perhaps the sun is rising on this new dawn of the Democratic Party here in the state. It's hard to know how to recruit, though, when you don't know what the maps are going to be. But if we get brand new maps for 2024 all across the state, every legislative seat is on the table, Tom.
Everyone. Every single one.
Well, I would feel better about the Democrats' chances than the Badgers' chances against Ohio State this weekend.
You got to have hope, Crudy. You got to have hope.
I do have a little bit of hope, but I also, you know, I have a strong sense of reality. And the bad stuff, it's not done yet. Robin Voss, he hasn't given up. He's just, you know, retreated around a hill for a bit, you know, like trolls do. Come back with us. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. When you say Devil's Advocates, you've said it all. You can always be a part of the big show, 844-967-2789. We take your calls on the other side. The big Badger Monday edition of the Devil's Advocates.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The big and tall of political talk. The devil's advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Monday to us all. Join us on the lines. You got something to say at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, tomorrow for me, a travel day. Because Crudy's doing DC, baby. The rest of the week, I'll be there Wednesday and Thursday. You know, I got some big guests lined up. Our pal Bill Press joins me live 5:30 Central Time on Wednesday. Mark Pocan, he and I will do a little in-chambers interview on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, Dom, I am accompanying Mrs. Crudy, who is there for her own advocacy. She is a caregiver, and she's representing national caregiver organizations. And she's got a hell of a schedule. A, she'll be doing the Empowered Caregiver Show from D.C. on Wednesday night. So I hope that goes well for her. You know, it could make the... make or break the rest of the trip for us. But, you know, on Thursday, here is her schedule. My understanding, she's got appointments with U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, our pal, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, former friend of the Devil's Advocates, Mark Pocan. She's meeting with my congressman, our congressman, and Derek Van Orden. My wife has a scheduled meeting with the 3rd District Congressman from the great state of Wisconsin now. And I don't know how I feel about that precisely. And while Ron would see me coming, if I was just a, you know, just a proud husband there to accompany his wife and showed up at Derek Van Orden's office, Tom, I don't know if they'd see me coming. They don't recognize me, not the way Rojo would.
But I mean, this is Liza's deal, man, right? This is about caregiving, and presumably he has an opinion or something to offer. She wants to pitch something. I mean, there's a point to that, I guess.
They're
I just hope,
you know,
she gets there, like, maybe I'm thinking the best window would be, you know, post hangover, but pre happy hour. So maybe like 2 p.m. I'm just spitballing here as a guy who drinks a little myself. That's what I would suggest.
If you had to pick a sweet spot in the Derek Van Orden schedule. Well, clearly I'm not going to interfere with what she's there to do, Dom, but right. More of a casual observer, you know, maybe just to get some clandestine video of, you know, what's in the liquor cabinet. We'll see.
Well, you know, checks, you know, if your feet are sticking to the floor, if there's some red Solo cups hanging around, you know, that smell of stale beer, you know, those little fruit flies that, you know, if you don't clean the taps come around, just let me know, man. It's hard. You can only guess. So, you know, you're going to be there. Just let me know how it smells.
Find out what sort of establishment he's running, whether it's a clean bar or not. Right. You'll smell the good chemicals, right? They sanitize right. Everything. They smells wipe
like
everything
bleach,
away.
All right.
844-967-2789. But I am quite excited. Dom, we have not been to D.C. since Trump got inaugurated.
Yeah.
Now, the Women's March was a much, much better event, let's just say. And better attended substantially, I would yes. I would conjecture, Dom, but we have not been to D.C., and I have not gone without you to D.C. since Donald Trump's inauguration. Do you think it's safe to go back in the water, back in the swamp, Dom? I mean, there's
we need good people in DC, Crudy. So I'm glad Liza's going.
You know what I'm really there to do? To cover the speaker race. Yeah. Do you think we'll have a speaker by the time I get to DC? They're supposed to vote tomorrow.
No, I don't think you will. They're supposed to what? The meeting today, private vote tomorrow, and then floor vote on Wednesday, maybe? I mean, but who can believe anything coming out of that caucus right now?
I am less clear who's leading the Republican caucus. You know, we've got some new polling that would suggest Republicans would prefer no one lead the caucus. I'm not talking about the congressional Republicans per se, although I bet the numbers would break out evenly, similarly. Yeah. But Aaron Blake over at the Washington Post, I'm not going there, but Aaron Blake said 55% of Republicans think it would be better if we just shut her down. They're only electing a speaker so they can shut down the government. The chaos will not end with the election of the speaker,
even with the government shutdown. Okay, great. Congratulations. Now what?
Not wasting step money.
Yes, they are. Because when you got to wind the machine back up and you got to pay interest and costs, and then what? Then we get jacked because now we're not viewed as a credible country. I mean, there's all sorts of practical, real implications to not governing. And they're saying this. I mean, this has come out of Republicans' mouths. And I'm not even talking about, you know, the Twitter storm or Trump Truthy Social storm that he goes on and the random terrible things that come out of his mouth. I'm talking about this, the leaders of the GOP, the megas in the House, in the Assembly, are saying, oh, we can't govern. Well, what a great messaging platform you have. No, you can't govern. Maybe you should try. Maybe you should elect people who can.
John from Boaz. Welcome, John. What do you got for us?
Hey, John.
Hi. Good afternoon. And I tell you, I went to Washington, D.C. many years ago, and you can't miss the Smithsonian Museum.
I'll miss it. Not going for that, John. My brother interned over there at the Smithsonian. He's the big shot in the family. I'm going to skip the Smithsonian. I'm going up to Capitol Hill.
Anyways, you could go to the Capitol Hill. You could go to the great cathedral of Roman Catholic cathedral they have there.
Skipping the church. Anyways, to church.
I have a question about our Wisconsin government.
Yes, sir.
The great state of Wisconsin government. Now, we have a balanced budget, right?
By law, because they do cash accounting. So it's always balanced. Meaning, as long as you got $1 in the bank, it's technically balanced, John.
Okay. So technically, everybody in the state of Wisconsin has $4 billion. Now, they always say, who is getting... We have a credit of $4 billion, but that's $200 million of interest that's payable to us. You see?
I don't see, John. I don't see. Actually, the current surplus is like $7 billion. And if I get my little piece of that, I'll be spending it up in D.C. Because Crudy's doing D.C. this week. You can come with us. You can always come with the Devil's Advocates. I'll take you with. Carry on luggage and all that kind of stuff. 844-967-2789. But we're not done yet. A lot more of this big show. More Devil's Advocates.
CBS News Special Report. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the next stage of its war with Hamas has begun. Linda Gradstein reports from Jerusalem.
Netanyahu said that with the entry into Gaza of Israeli tanks and troops, the war had entered a new phase. He said the war to destroy Hamas will be long, but that Israel will prevail. He also said that expanding the ground operation in Gaza will not get in the way of bringing the 230 hostages home.
Communication in Gaza is difficult with most internet and phone services out. CBS's Ian Lee is in Tel Aviv.
That CBS News producer went to the main hospital in Gaza City and described how it was overflowing with injured people, people looking for loved ones because they can't call and ask how someone is doing.
In London.
Thousands of pro-Palestinian protesters took to the streets today calling for a ceasefire. CBS News Special Report. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
93.5, The Tap.
Isn't it rich?
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocates.
Me here at last on the ground, you in midair.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Proud to be a Badger Monday edition. I'm not taking responsibility for this song, Dom. I blame this one on Dave Zweifel. And I suspect you, our audience member, can do better. But the headline here at the Cap Times, soundtrack for Wisconsin's congressional picks, send in the clowns. I think he's talking about Derek Van Orden primarily. Let's read. Maybe it's something in the waters. PFAS, maybe. But Wisconsin voters have been on an awful streak, sending public embarrassments to represent us in Washington in recent years. I'll try not to embarrass the show over the next couple days, Dom. No promises.
No promises.
Zweifel writes, Ron Johnson is enough all by himself. Yeah. The consensus pick for worst U.S. senator, our state has seen fit to have him represent in the U.S. Senate. Not once, not twice, but three times. Three times a row, Joe, Dom. He becomes such a royal pain in the neck that his Republican colleague, Mitt Romney, asked him if there's any conspiracy theory he doesn't believe in. He doesn't believe there's a climate crisis. He says Social Security is a Ponzi scheme, and he abhors the COVID doctor, Anthony Fauci. But there were many who truly thought he lost his marbles when he referred to the people who stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, as peaceful protesters. you know, stand inside the ropes and, you know, hardly scared, Dom. Not like
a single file. Right, right.
If they were Black Lives Matter protesters, that'd be.
Well, then that would have been a problem.
A little scared.
Scared.
Dom, then two of the state's congressional districts, the 7th in the north and the 5th in the east, dispatched two rabid Donald Trump acolytes, Tom Tiffany and Scotty Fitzgerald, to the House. They immediately distinguished themselves by trying to disenfranchise millions of American voters by advocating the overturn of the U.S. presidential election, an election that they themselves had won. Again, Fitzy and Tom Tiffany voted to overturn, I believe it was both Arizona and Pennsylvania.
And it wasn't essentially some of their first acts as newly elected congressmen.
Well, they were
welcome to the party,
I believe, on January 5th, and then January 6th happened the very next day.
Wow.
Above and beyond that, there are only two speaker candidates out of the 9 Republicans being selected through who did vote to certify the actual outcome of the U.S. election, right? 7 only other candidates. Two.
That's correct.
And that doesn't even count Jim Jordan or Scalise. They voted against the peaceful transfer of power.
Greg Sargent tweeted out, Tom Emmer and Austin Scott are the only two who voted to certify the 2020 election. Mike Johnson, Byron Donalds, Kevin Hearn, Jack Bergman, Pete Sessions, Gary Palmer, and Dan Muser all voted no on certifying the 2020 election.
Dominic, harkening back to Tiffany and Fitzgerald, they both have become members of the chaotic House caucus that can't get its act together. Tiffany wants the U.S. Attorney General to probe naked bike riders in Wisconsin. Fitzy is busy working on plans to shut down the U.S. government. They both want to impeach Joe Biden, and they're fans of off-the-wall Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan. But then there's Derek Van Orden, Wisconsin's latest gift to the U.S. Congress.
Is that what it is?
The state's gift? Well, and I would say if you got a better song than Dave Zweifel, Dave Zweifel's take on this, send in the clowns, 844-967-2789. The state's 3rd congressional district, which has sent mild-mannered Democrat Ron Kind to represent them for 26 years, and soft-spoken Republican Steve Gunderson for 16 years before that, switch gears and pick the bombastic Van Orden to take their place. A little gerrymandering of the district helped too. Perhaps true to his status as a Navy veteran and a SEAL, Van Orden talks like the proverbial drunken sailor whenever he gets angry, which apparently, Dom, is often.
Crudy Zweifel points out he made headlines this summer when he threw a tantrum directed at teenagers working summer internships for their members of Congress at the Capitol. Anger that the kids were taking a break by sitting on the floor of the rotunda, he called the pages jackasses and pieces of S, call it crap, and he told them he didn't give an F who you are when they tried to explain. Like all too many of his Republican colleagues, Van Orden made up a lie, contending that they were disrespecting the soldiers buried under the rotunda, something that was never the case.
What about the January 6th protesters, Tom, of which Van Orden was one, whether or not he entered and, you know, somehow desecrated the graves underneath the Capitol rotunda, which do not exist? Wasn't he also being a tad disrespectful colleagues were wiping feces on the wall of the U.S. Capitol? Did that desecrate, you know, your memory of the Civil War soldiers?
Trying to murder democracy in this country when you're trying to overturn an election in this country based on lies, based on misinformation, based on what? The fact that your orange guy lost and he's been feeding you something all this time. So either you're ignorant enough to believe it and have terrible judgment, or you know it's a lie and you're part of the conspiracy, which means you're also not fit to be in Congress. But I digress. Weeful goes on. He was at it again, talking about Van Orden. He was at it again a few days ago when he became verbally abusive during a briefing Biden administration staffers were giving members of Congress about the Hamas attack on Israel. Van Orden was described as acting belligerent towards the briefers when he asked questions, cursing at them and calling them pathetic. When others in the room booed him,
boo this man,
and directed a couple of F-bombs at them. Maybe he still thinks he's in the Navy. He tried to explain his tirade by claiming to be angry over the Biden administration releasing $6 billion to Iran that was obviously used by them to help Hamas. that was yet another lie. The $6 billion was still on hold. There was a day when Wisconsin members of Congress were bona fide leaders in Washington. Today, too many of them are bona fide clowns. According to the opinion of Dave Zweifel, editor emeritus of the Capital Times.
Remember Derek Van Orden's fine staff, I'm sure. You know, nothing but the crackest of people out in D.C. If you happen to be monitoring this broadcast right now, Zweifel said all those bad things about your guy, not Crudy. I'm coming out open-minded to D.C. to see if he can be a moderate, because he's trying to pretend like he's a moderate, Dom. You know, when he comes back to the district, I don't know if you know this, but Van Orden tries to play it real moderate. You know, I'm just trying to find bipartisan solutions out here in D.C. to serve the people in the third. That's what he claims.
Of course he's not. Of course that's a bunch of bunk. The way the man acts towards, this reporting. You don't hear this about anybody else. I mean, this is beyond. As mentioned, as Zweifel brings up, you know, Tom Tiffany and Fitzgerald, man, these guys they're something, right? But then this extra gift of Van Orden, it's like those guys got infected with the Trump thing and went all mega and, you know, have anger issues. You know, maybe the guy needs a hug, but he does not treat people well. He doesn't treat his constituents, the 17-year-old he was, you know, berating at the library when he checked out all the LGBTQ books because apparently that's bad for people. And then he went ahead to bring them all back. And then when he's swearing at kids, I mean, child abuse in their faces, swearing at them. You know, did he smell the booze on his breath? Did he have a little of that spittle coming out? I'm just curious. I'd like to know. But they're minors, so they wouldn't release the video because the parents didn't want that.
Didn't want their minor children targeted by MAGA buddies of Derek Van Orden.
Right.
Same kind of guy, Derek Van Orden specifically, that would take a loaded handgun with a bullet in the chamber on a return flight from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And my question has always been, how'd the gun get to Cedar Rapids?
Well, I can only assume there's two ways, right? One, he drove to Cedar Rapids in a rental car and then flew back with the gun. Or he bought the gun there, which could be right, and then he brought it back with him. Or he had it with him on the initial flight and just brought it back with him and got caught on the return flight.
I told you about that donor from Coral Gables, Florida, so enamored with Derek Van Orden. Had him at the house that night before I met him at the Pfister Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
I asked that guy, is that what they taught him in the Navy SEALs? You bring a loaded handgun with a round in the chamber on a domestic commercial flight? That's acceptable? Now, this guy was charged and convicted, right, Plett? But yet he serves in Congress at the will of the people of the third. I hope
come
they
on,
can.
People of the third.
Come on, people of the third.
Yes, people of the third. I mean, Van Orden's he's shown you exactly who he is, and I don't believe that that's who you want. I have a really hard time believing that the fine citizens of Wisconsin in the third district want a hothead, out of control maniac representing you like that in Congress.
Let's talk policy for just a minute. Let's not bury the man in his bad ideology. Let's talk policy and his bad policy for just a minute. A letter to the editor at the Capital Times, a guest column written by Darren Van Ruden, a family farmer here in the state of Wisconsin, writes, Derek Van Orden chooses big corporations over Wisconsin dairy farmers. This one also from the Cap Times. Van Ruden writes, I'm a proud third-generation Wisconsin dairy farmer. There's nothing quite like having living on the same land that your family has called home for decades, passing down these skills and continuing the legacy of those who have come before me. But farming is a tough business, and when we have a member of Congress who doesn't look out for us, it becomes even tougher. That's why Rep. Derek Van Orden's record of prioritizing the wealthy and big corporations is so troubling, and why we need to do better. When I graduated from high school, Wisconsin had a little over 44,000 dairy farms. By 2000, that was cut in half. And today, we have under 6,000 dairy farms in the state.
Wow.
That's quite a reduction. That's bad news for our economy here in rural Wisconsin. When agriculture shrinks, communities lose their post offices, grocery stores close, school districts combine, and families suffer. And Wisconsin farmers need a champion more than ever, but so far Van Orden has failed to deliver anything other than empty slogans. Just days after he took office, Van Orden crowned himself the Cheese King of Congress. But dairy farmers like me are still waiting to see the results of his self-appointed royalty. Despite being a member of the House Agricultural Committee, which writes the Farm Bill and has immense power to make things better for our industry, Van Orden hasn't listened. We need a farm bill that looks out for smaller farmers and cracks down on unwarranted expansion of the largest operations. They're CAFOs, right, Dom? The truth is, the greed and blind pursuit of capitalism is making it harder for producers here in the 3rd District. But despite raising concerns with Van Orden's office, he hasn't included amendments to help the small farms in the Farm Bill and hasn't stood up to the big corporations who are using the current policies to put family farms out of business. As Van Ruden writes here at the Cap Times, a guest column, but this is business as usual for Van Orden. In office, he has continued to choose those at the top over what's best for us here in Wisconsin. He voted for huge tax breaks for large corporations and to protect wealthy tax cheats, even though letting them off the hook means working families are forced to pick up the slack. And he opposed important legislation that is reducing cost, capping insulin prices, and making healthcare more affordable. These are the policies we should want. A little bit more.
Dairy farmers and anyone who values the economy in rural Wisconsin have to demand better from Van Orden. We're waiting for him to stand up to big corporations and fight for working families who make the 3rd District what it is today. Darren Van Ruden is a 3rd-generation dairy farmer and advocate for Wisconsin farmers from Westby, Wisconsin.
I guess that wasn't
at the Cap Times.
Sharing so much is calling for a relief pitcher at the end.
Yeah, that's right. I nailed it, baby. Strike right down the middle. 844-967-2789. Oh, we got some callers holding. Sit tight. We'll come back. Take your calls. And I'm curious, other than bring out the clowns, what would be the soundtrack of these leaderless, rudderless, anti-democracy Republicans? Only 2 of the 9 actually voted to certify the 2020 election. The rest are election deniers. What would be a song? I don't know, maybe Liar. Something like that. I'm open. I'd like to hear something. You know, I only know the metal stuff, the rock and roll. So if you got something else, you know, Rudy, I know you like the pop in the country. So if you got something to offer, please let us know. 844-967-2789.
Dom just hopes for less Sinatra and more speed metal.
Sorry, my dear. But where are the clowns? Send in the clowns.
At SimpliSafe, we've designed award-winning home security with advanced sensors, HD cameras, and now this. 24/7 LiveGuard protection, only from SimpliSafe. Now, monitoring agents can see and speak to intruders through our new indoor camera to help stop crime in real time and for fast police response. Get 20% off any new system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplisafe.com/radio. Advanced home security, 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines are open 844-967-2789. What is the soundtrack of these congressional Republicans? I throw this one out there. It just came to me, Nate. Free Will Burning by Judas Priest, 1984. Remember when I heard the song? All I could imagine was that, you know, that rubber tire, you know, rolling down the street on fire. You know what I mean? That's what these Republicans
are. Tire fire.
Free Will Burning, baby.
A dumpster fire. A Trumpster fire. It all kind of rhymes. 844-967-2789. Your selections for soundtrack of the Wisconsin congressional delegation. How about Traveling Man for Van Orden? He flew town last weekend when Jordan might have needed his vote.
You know, he gave the people of Israel his solemn vow that if anything happened, he'd be there for them. Well, then he maybe should, you know, be elected in Israel, because I'm not sure how his being on the ground in Israel is going to provide any greater insight than, you know, actual experts that are still, this is what they do for a living all the time, instead of pretending to represent the 3rd District of Wisconsin and screaming and yelling at teenagers.
Hey, you effing shut up, you dumb kids. Very important man. 844-967-2789. Cindy from Appletown. How you doing, Cindy?
Hey, Cindy.
Good, how are you?
Excellent.
Good, thank you. I have two things I have. First of all, I think we have less farmers, but I think we have more farm animals in the state now than we've ever had because of these CAFO situations, which are not good. And as far as the farm bill goes, I wish the two of you would talk about the EATS Act, which is horrible legislation that's been wrapped up into that farm bill, which is going to give domesticated animals absolutely no rights whatsoever. They're going to stack those poor things 20 stories into the sky. So I wish you'd do a little research on that and talk about that. But that's what I had to say.
Cindy, we will do our homework, but perhaps not in real time. We'll get to it. 844-967-2789. I hate to be called out for not doing my homework in real time, Cindy.
There's a lot. There's a lot to keep track of, no doubt about it. And that's why we rely on a very intelligent and capable audience to, you know, sometimes bring to light issues that we may not be immediately aware of.
Well, there are a few clarifications on the text line as well. And you can text us or you can call us 844-967-2789. I do have a few other political headlines, but first the text line. Badger Bob said, it's a great day for hockey. I think I corrected at some point. Jeff from Sherwood's hammering us. Nate the Great is the best part of this show. Well, he's not bad, but I say we play some small part.
I know, Jeff.
Also, Jeff apparently, or somebody. Oh, that's not Jeff. DC, it's about time the greatest show in radio does some networking. That's what I'm doing. Call it networking. Someone else calls it recon. Doing some recon, Dom. And then there is a recommendation from Jeff from Sherwood, a musical recommendation. I think he's recommending the Ramones. Too drunk for sex, let's just call it.
Have to find a clean version of that one, Nate.
The headline here, Lawrence Andrea at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Everybody's pretty frustrated. Wisconsin's GOP delegation accepts return to square one in the speaker search.
Here we go again.
Back where they started, Dom. A deeply divided House Republican conference returned to square one in its struggle to find a leader Friday afternoon for Ohio Rep. Jim Jordan. You know, he withdrew his candidacy from the speaker's race, having failed for over a week to pull his party together, or his you-know-what together, Dom. Jordan's decision to step aside followed a secret ballot vote from the conference, in which a majority of his conference indicated he should be removed as speaker designee. Early in the day, Jordan fell short in his third attempt to win the job on the House floor, publicly losing the support of 25 of his Republican colleagues. That's starting to be a big number.
You're right.
Here's what Rep. Brian Steil from Wisconsin's first said. I think everybody's pretty frustrated. I think what it really shows is the error of judgment of the 8 Republicans who, with the Democrats, successfully moved to oust former Speaker Kevin McCarthy on October 3rd. Don, what is today's date? It's the 23rd.
Going on 3 weeks, baby.
Going on 3 weeks without a speaker. Friday's developments mean the House will remain leaderless for at least 3 more days. I'll be there. You know, I wonder if there'll be a shifting in the force when they finally elect a speaker. If Friday's developments means the House will remain leaderless for at least 3 more days, as the bitterly divided House Republican caucus has been unable to come to a consensus on who should lead the Congress's lower chamber. Oh, they make it lower every day, Dom. Today's events prolong a 2-week period in which the House has been unable to move legislation while wars rage in both Israel and Ukraine, and Congress stares down a November 17th government funding deadline. Well, some want to elect a speaker just so they can shut it down, Dom. I think that's Fitzy's position currently.
Well, I mean, at this point, they could literally do nothing and shut it down, because if they don't have a speaker, they can't move legislation. If they can't move legislation, they can't address the timeline.
Wisconsin's Republicans have largely remained united behind their party speaker nominee. First, it was Rep. Steve Scalise and then Jim Jordan throughout the month. But some members began to question their conference's path forward this week as Jordan continued to lose support on the House floor. Here's what Grothy Grothman said. Bah, the meatloaf. And then he said, I don't think we really have a choice. According to what Grothman told the Journal Sentinel, I like Jim, but he's losing votes every time. And I think people felt collectively, if we took more votes, he'd keep losing votes.
Again, that's called a trend line, and it's not going very well, or wasn't going well, for Jim Jordan.
One last quote for Grothman, a prescient statement by Grothman. This, of course, last week. Earlier in the day, Grothman told the Journal Sentinel he thought the conference was soon going to have to look for someone else. Those words came true an hour later. Grothman's never been so right about anything in his life.
Crudy, in the minutes after Jordan's withdrawal, a number of Republicans were mentioned as potential new nominees. Oklahoma Rep. Kevin Hearn announced that he would run for the post. And others like Minnesota's Tom Emmer, Michigan's Jack Bergman, Mike Johnson of Louisiana, and Austin Scott of Georgia, who ran against Jordan, also showed interest. Wisconsin Rep. Mike Gallagher's name had been floated by some Republicans as a potential consensus candidate, but Gallagher told the Journal Sentinel he was not interested. It's not something I'm pursuing. I have the job I want. On Thursday, Gallagher said Republicans would need to go back to the drawing board if Jordan lost. Of course, we know that he did. While all 6 Wisconsin Republicans backed Jordan in his bid for speaker, only 5 were present to support him during his third vote on the floor. We talked about Derek Van Orden doing recon in Israel. He could miss subsequent speaker votes this week. Scott Fitzgerald, a strong Jordan supporter, told the Journal Sentinel he was disappointed with his conference's decision to remove Jordan as speaker designee. I think he is the best person to unite the conference, Fitzgerald said. We'll see what next week brings. Yes, we will. And it's more chaos from the Free Will Burning Caucus.
Fitzy thinks Jim Jordan is the best guy to lead the caucus? I've got to question your leadership, Scott. Come back. More Devil's Advocates the Monday. Proud to be a Badger, except for you, Fitzy. Happier happy hour.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPTUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over.